Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is a snowy Sunday morning, April the 5th, 1987. May the Lord bless as we worship together on this beautiful Lord's Day, even though it's snowing. We just thank God that God is keeping His promise. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. We praise God today for all He's done for us through this past week. May this service be an uplift in your life. We love you. Right now I'd like to read our scripture for today, which is found in Romans, the 3rd chapter, before we have another song. We do appreciate you that are here with us, and trust you'll enter right into the service today. Romans, the 3rd chapter, verses 20 through 24. Let's also read verse 19. Romans chapter 3. This is the wonderful 3rd chapter of Romans. It says, we're without excuse. Verse 19, Romans 3. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Let's also read verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Thank God for these verses. The word propitiation is in the Bible only 3 times. Here in Romans 3:25 and twice in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2 and 1 John 4:10. That word means that the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross completely satisfied God, God the Father, to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. This morning we're going to be preaching on the cross, the old rugged cross. Let's have a word of prayer together. I do want to mention these people in prayer before we have prayer. Shirley Baker, as far as I know, a teacher down at Dennis Wooten. As far as I know, she is still in the hospital with meningitis, same thing that Newton Combs had, a teacher who teaches at Napier High School. Shirley Baker taught Wanda and Tim in the 1st grade a few years ago. Also, we need to be praying for Scott Napier. Does anyone know if they got home? Scott has had to go back to the Children's Hospital in Cincinnati. Yeah. Let's also be praying for George Kelly, who's, as far as I know, still in the hospital down here. And others are listed here in the bulletin. Brother Sutton had minor surgery last week. And be praying for him. And Callie Hanks, who lives right behind the church here, she is still feeling on the weather, I guess, and be praying for her, as well as Ms. Barker and Ms. Maude Barker and each of these others listed here in the bulletin. Brother Combs, let's have a word of prayer together. Father, you know all about each one of us this morning, and we just thank Thee that You're able, dear Lord, to bless each of these that we've mentioned and others listed here in the bulletin and others that we know, some who are lost, some who don't know Jesus yet. Father, we just pray that You'd work in each one of these lives. Those who are physically ill, we know You're able to bless each one. May Your will and Your way be worked out in everything. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. We'd like to turn to page 130 and sing the first and last stanzas of I Will Sing of My Redeemer. 130. First and last stanzas. Let's stand again, please. Stanza. This song has five verses in it, and I want to read verses 2, 3, and 4. It says, I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray, threw His loving arms around me, drew me back into His way. I was bruised, but Jesus healed me. Faint was I from many a fall. Sight was gone, and fears possessed me, but He freed me from them all. Days of darkness still come over me, sorrow's paths I often tread, but the Savior still is with me. By His hand I'm safely led. The Lord knows what He's doing, and certainly He is able to lead us if we're willing to be led by His hand. Let's sing the last stanza, please. We'd like this time to, Emory, would you and Brother Lyndon take up our offering this morning, please? I'd like to ask Brother Lyndon to lead us in prayer.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You once again that we can come out to Thy house this morning. We thank You for this privilege, for each one who has come this way. We thank You, Lord, for this service and what it means to each one of us to be here, Lord. We pray for all those who aren't here because of the weather and for other reasons, for health or whatever. We just pray, Lord, that You'd be with them and keep them safe and bring them back to Thy house. We pray, Lord, for Brother James as he speaks to us this morning, that You would use him in the service, Lord, that You would use his mouth to give forth the words that You've laid on his heart, that we might receive a blessing from being here, and that we might be drawn closer to Thee, Lord, and depend upon You more day by day. We just thank you, Lord, for this offering that will be given, and we just pray, Lord, that it would be used by this church, that this church would go forward and be the witness that it needs to be. We pray, Lord, that you would help us, that we could be that witness. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Wanda into playing her flute this morning, but I guess we'll let her wait till next Sunday. Thought about having Brother Fred and Myrna sing us a duet. We'll give you a snow check on that, all right? Instead of a rain check, we'll give you a snow check and you can sing for us next Sunday. Today we're going to be preaching on the cross. And I don't guess on this side of eternity we're going to realize in these houses of clay, we're not going to realize fully the price that Jesus paid for our salvation. That we could have a right to the tree of life. What does the cross mean to you? Many songs have been written about the cross. I'm sure more songs have been written about Jesus and what he did for us than probably any other subject that we could think of today. And new songs are being written all the time about Jesus. What does the cross mean to us? Today we had a Sunday school lesson entitled, Condemned But Not Guilty. Jesus was not guilty. He was the just, dying for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The Bible prophesied that Jesus would die. In the Psalms it says, they pierced my hands and my feet. In Psalm 22:1 it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The exact words that Jesus uttered on the cross many, many years later. Paul said in the book of Philippians, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Paul said this as he wrote to the church at Philippi. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In our Sunday school lesson today, Pilate said three times, I find no fault in this man. He tried every way he could to let Jesus go free. But it was God's will. It says, he released unto them Barabbas, who had been accused of sedition and murder. He released him to the crowd released him from prison and released Jesus to their will. Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For he that would seek to save his life shall lose it, and he that would seek to lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. You know what it is? It is in losing ourselves that we save ourselves. It's losing our lives in service to the Master that we really save ourselves. You show me a person today who is following Jesus 7 days a week, and I'll show you a person who has some joy in their life. It is in bearing our cross for Jesus that life really has any meaning. We need to take up our cross every day, not just on Sunday, but also on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every day. As you know, we have 4 Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Only one of these Gospels tell us this verse, John 19:17. It says, and Jesus, bearing his cross, went forth into the place called in the Hebrew tongue, Golgotha, the place of a skull. Jesus was willing to bear his cross. And why not us be willing to bear a cross for him every day? I appreciate the cross. We had an underground evangelism film last Sunday night. And the lady, she and her husband were here to show it. She gave me another cross. I had one just like it already, but she gave me another one. It's a picture of a cross with barbed wire wrapped around it. Underground evangelism ministered to people behind the Iron Curtain, where God's Word, they don't have freedom over there like we do here, as far as the Bible is concerned. I appreciate today the cross and what it means to us at this season of the year. And just 2 weeks from today is Easter. What does Easter mean to you? I'm looking forward to revival services with Brother R.T. All of us need to be supporting the services with our presence as well as our prayers. Let's be praying right now. I'd like to challenge you to write 5 names, at least 5 names, down on a sheet of paper and pray for them, that they would be saved. A fellow asked this question as he preached to us at the Evangelism Conference back in February. He said this, how many lost people do you know? My friends, we need to seek to bring others to Jesus. Our key verse today is going to be a verse we had in our Bible study on Wednesday night, in Colossians 1:20. It says this about Jesus, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. He made peace through the blood of his cross. Why should we glory in the cross? Paul said in the last chapter of Galatians, he said this, Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. I want to first of all say that we should glory in the cross, because it was in the cross that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ redeemed us. I love the book of Galatians. Galatians contrasts law on the one hand and grace on the other hand. In one of those chapters of Galatians, it compares the two children of Abraham, Ishmael and Isaac. And the last verse of chapter 2 says, we are of the free woman, not of the bond woman. In chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul said that we need to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. The law, in a sense, curses us. It does not give us anything to live by. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And Jesus comes along in the New Testament and says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hangs all the law and the prophets. My friends, today, Christ has redeemed us. He's bought us from the clutches of the old devil. By his blood, we're redeemed. Fanny Crosby said in a song, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child. And forever I am. Christ, in his death on the cross, redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And this is found in Deuteronomy. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. God the Father even turned his back on his Son. And Jesus uttered those words from Psalm 22:1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Also in Galatians it says, Galatians 3:21, the last part, it says, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But there wasn't a law that could give life. The law gave death. The First Testament. The Old Testament. The Old Covenant gave death. While the New Covenant, the New Testament, that we're going to look at in a little bit, gives life. There's not a law today that can give life. The law condemned us. It could not save us. I was listening to a fellow on the radio this morning about 7 o'clock from WHAS, Louisville. And he talked about the Lamb of God. And he said this, Jesus had to be the Lamb of God before he could be the Lion of the tribe of Judah, found in the book of Revelation. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him one day. And you know what he said? He said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. sin of each one of us was laid on Jesus. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Even Abraham in Genesis 12 and following, it says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. In Romans 3:20 it says, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Paul said in Titus, who gave himself for us, talking about Jesus, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I want to thank God this morning for being redeemed from the curse of the law. Romans 8 is a wonderful book, wonderful chapter in the Bible. And it says there, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak in the flesh. The law could not save, it condemned. In that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Jesus today comes with a gift. C.H. Spurgeon wrote a book in which he told about a minister who went to the home of a poor lady to give her some money. And he knocked on the door, and no one came. He knocked a little louder, and no one came. He was there to give her a gift, some money that she needed. He saw her at church that Sunday, that following Sunday. And the minister said, I came to your home, and I knocked, and I knocked. I thought you were home. And the lady said, what time were you there? And he said, about noon on a Friday. And the lady said, I thought you were the landlord asking for the rent. The preacher was on the outside of the door knocking to give her a gift. My friends, Jesus is standing on the outside of many doors here in Airport Gardens and around the world. He's on the outside knocking, wanting to give you a gift if you don't know Jesus yet. He's wanting to give you a gift of salvation, free. Songwriter says, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? Am I a soldier of the cross? Second, not only did Christ redeem us from the curse of the law by dying on that cross for us, but Christ paid the debt. He paid the debt. Tom and Fred sang a song a few months ago. I guess the choir sang this too for us in the past. He paid a debt I could not pay. Christ, by giving his life on the cross, paid the debt for our sins. He paid the sin debt. He made peace through the blood of his cross. He paid the debt. The third stanza of Hallelujah for the Cross, it says, 'twas here the debt was paid. Our sins on Jesus laid. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So round the cross we sing of Christ our offering, of Christ our living King. Hallelujah for the cross. When Jesus died, it was here that the debt was paid in full. Paid in full. Myrna still hears from Dr. Shetty's wife in India. It was a while before we wrote her a letter, but we got a letter just a day or two ago from her. I say that to say this, and I've mentioned this, I guess, before in a message. When I had gallbladder surgery down here, Dr. Shetty did my surgery. He sent me a bill in the mail. On one side was, I forget how much, $500 or $600, I believe. And on the other side was zero. He paid my debt. He paid my debt that I owed. My friends, one day Jesus paid my debt that I couldn't pay. Was here the debt was paid. Our sins on Jesus laid. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a verse over in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26. It says this. Hebrews 9:26. It says, neither by the blood of calves and goats, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. When we were over at my mom's yesterday, my mom is not feeling well. I'd like for you to remember her in prayer this week. I was listening to a program on the radio over there. And you know what next year is in Israel? It is the year of Jubilee. We had a lesson in Sunday school on that. It's the 50th year. Every seventh year in the Old Testament it says that they were to leave their land fallow. Don't plant anything. And seven sevens is 49, plus the 50th year is the year of Jubilee. That's when everyone went free. All the slaves were set free. If anyone owed a debt, it was canceled. Next year is the year of Jubilee in Israel. This fellow said, Jesus could come in the year of Jubilee. In fact, he could come in 1987. I'm glad that Jesus paid my debt. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life, a ransom for many. All of you here know what a ransom is. Even Brother Lennon's two boys, I'm sure if I ask them today, what is a ransom? They would tell me, no doubt, something like this. It is the price paid so that someone else can go free. My friend, I'm glad Jesus paid my debt. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Here in Romans 3:21 it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Galatians chapter 5, that's the chapter I mentioned a while ago. I'm sorry, I said Galatians 3. It's Galatians 5. And Galatians 4 is where Paul talks about the bond woman and the free woman, two children of Abraham. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." John Newton wrote the song Amazing Grace. And a friend called on John Newton in the later years of his life. A portion of Scripture was read, including the verse, "But by the grace of God I am what I am." And Newton, John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, some of you may not know this, John Newton was a slave trader. He sold slaves and bought slaves before God saved him. No wonder he said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." John Newton said here, as this friend met with him, "I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I wish to be. I am not what I hope to be. But I can truly say, I am not what I once was, a slave to sin and Satan. I can heartily join with the apostle in acknowledge, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am what I am." God's amazing grace. Jesus had to be the Lamb of God before he could be the Lion of the tribe of Judah, found in Revelation. Last, in closing, in the cross, Christ gave us the New Testament, the New Covenant. As I said a while ago, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the law that had in it the blood of animals was not sufficient. Was not sufficient. He redeemed us by his own blood. He entered in once. I read that verse a while ago in Hebrews 9:12. Hebrews 10:19 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Tonight, I don't know if we'll, before I know right now, we'll have church tonight. I'm going to be preaching Lord's will on the rent veil. The rent veil. What happened when Jesus said it's finished? Hopefully we'll be able to get here tonight. If we don't come, we'll have it on the radio this evening sometime. Matthew 26:28 says, Jesus said this as he instituted the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper. "For this is my blood of the New Testament." Of the New Testament. "Which is shed for many for the remission of sins." The blood of animals could not take away sin. It only postponed sin for 1 year at a time. The high priest went in the Holy of Holies one time a year behind that veil to postpone sin once a year. But the blood that Jesus shed, and the blood that the juice represents as we take the Lord's Supper, it represents his blood. He said there in the upper room, "This is my blood." And his blood hadn't been shed yet when he said this. But he said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Jesus died on that cross. He didn't just swoon. He didn't just faint, he died. In Revelation 1, Jesus says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. He died. Isaiah 53, that wonderful 53rd chapter of Isaiah, has the word soul in it, the last three verses of that chapter. Verses 10, 11, and 12. Verse 12 says, he hath poured out his soul unto death. Jesus died. He paid my debt. He wiped my slate clean. He redeemed me. He redeemed you, if you know him today, from the curse of the law. He paid your debt that you couldn't pay. And he paid my debt that I couldn't pay. And he gave us the New Testament, the New Covenant, in his blood. I'm going to say with the author of Hallelujah for the Cross, I appreciate the cross today. He redeemed us. He paid the debt. Our invitation to him today is Jesus paid it all. Page 204. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. As we stand to sing, 204. If you're here today without Jesus, there's no better time. Jesus can wipe you, wipe your sins. In fact, let me read a verse over in Isaiah chapter 1 before we have our invitation hymn. Isaiah chapter 1 is a wonderful verse. It says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Isaiah 1:18. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Get your slate wiped clean today. Your sins under the blood. As we stand to sing, 204. Verses 2 and 3, it says, Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. This last stanza, what a stanza this is. I am not complete yet. Really. All I'm waiting on and all you're waiting on today is a new body. A body like Jesus. And when before the throne I stand in him complete. Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Let's sing the last stanza, please. Thank you. I fixed up the bulletin, I think the sun was shining. Well, this past Monday. But I tell you, Jesus today can wash your heart clean, as white as the snow, by His blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee for this service, and thank Thee for those who have been here to fellowship together. Father, we pray for our church family today, wherever they may be. We pray for those who are physically ill. We pray for our community here in Airport Gardens and surrounding area, many who do not know Thee yet. Help us, Lord, as a church, to be burdened for them and be concerned about those who are lost.